Welcome to the John Lothian News Daily Update Podcast. It is July 3rd, 2023, and I am your host, John Lothian. This podcast gives an overview of content from today's John Lothian newsletter, including commentary from its hits and takes section, stories from the first read section, a listing of the top three stories from the previous edition of the newsletter, and of the first three stories in the lead section of today's JLN. This podcast is a production of John Lothian News, home of MarketsWiki and MarketsWiki Education. We encourage you to check out our History of Trading videos on johnlothiannews.com on the MarketsWiki Education page, including the Open Outcry Traders History Project and the Path to Electronic Trading video series. Here are the hits and takes comments from today's JLN. Longtime industry professional Tom Griffo, whose career started with Thompson McKinnon Securities at the New York Commodities Exchange Center at Four World Trade Center, and led to his working for Cargill Investor Services when I met him, has retired. He has written a commentary about his career titled, "The Futures Are My Past." Griffo, who studied English, literature, journalism, and U.S. history, tells his story well. Congratulations, Tom, on an unplanned but successful career. Alex Harris of Bloomberg has a story titled, "U.S. Dollar LIBOR is Dead. What it was, what comes next?" Well, that depends on who you ask, as there are competing indexes. SOFR, of course, or the Secured Overnight Financing Rate. There is Ameribor, which is the American Interbank Offered Rate. And the BSBY, or Bloomberg Short-Term Bank Yield Index, or SONIA, or the Sterling Overnight Index Average. Mohamed El Arian has written a commentary for the Financial Times titled, "A Defining Moment for Central Banking," with the subheading, "In the face of a stubborn trilemma of challenges, central banks need help to restore policy credibility." The Financial Times reports that 37-year-old Victoria Amelina, an acclaimed Ukrainian novelist and poet who began documenting Russian war crimes after Vladimir Putin launched his full-scale invasion, has succumbed to injuries she sustained in a Russian missile attack on a crowded restaurant last week. July 1st is what in baseball is known as Bobby Bonilla Day, for the day that the New York Mets pay former Mets player Bonilla $1.19 million as part of a deferred contract. In 2000, the Mets owed Bonilla $5.9 million on his contract. They cut a deal to defer paying him until 2011, but the principal had an interest rate of 8%, which was very generous. The Mets gave the generous interest rate because the then owners had money invested with hedge fund manager Bernie Madoff, and they were allegedly making even more on their money. Instead, the Mets will have ended up paying Bonilla $29.7 million through 2035. PRI In Person 2023 is October 3rd to 5th in Tokyo at the International Convention Center, Pamir, Takawana, Tokyo. Accommodations are at the Grand Prince Hotel Shin Takawana. More than 1,000 PRI signatories and other investment professionals from around the globe will be gathering at the PRI in person to learn, exchange ideas, and collaborate. An additional feature is a sustainable finance policy conference for policymaker and regulatory representatives and regulatory affairs staff of PRI signatories on the morning of October 3rd. Learn about the PRI in person with a link in today's newsletter. The most read stories last Friday in JLN Options were day trader rush for options propelling unusual VIX stock swings, BlackRock launches its first buffer ETFs for stock market investors worried about potential fall, Singapore bids LIBOR farewell with surge of SORA derivatives. Here are more stories from the first read section of today's JLN. We have a video from our OIC 2023 coverage. This one is titled, Paul McLaren of Enhance Your Options talks with JLN about going from theory to practice in options education. JLN spoke with Paul McLaren, the president of Enhance Your Options, at the OIC conference in Nashville in April. He talked about his background in and passion for education and how he started a training company specifically for options education. You can watch this video on johnlothiannews.com. Here's a story from the Wall Street Journal. The headline, How to Retire Better from Retirees Who Learned the Hard Way. Thousands of Americans retire every day short on cash, friendships, and plans. Many retirees say they realize too late how they could have prepared for a more financially secure and rewarding post-work life. They would have focused on saving more money to cover the higher cost of living, or they would have put more time into building relationships, taking better care of their health, or cultivating new pursuits. My comment. The biggest mistake people make is lacking purpose. Money, that is always an issue, but life needs meaning. Here's a story from the New York Times. A cage match between Elon Musk and Mark Zuckerberg may be no joke. The day after Elon Musk challenged Mark Zuckerberg on social media to a cage match last month, Dana White, president of the Ultimate Fighting Championship, received a text. It was from Mr. Zuckerberg, chief executive of Meta. He asked Mr. White, who heads the world's premier mixed martial arts competition, which is fought in cage-like rings, if Mr. Musk was serious about a fight. My comment, even if this happens, it will still be a joke. Here's a story from Reuters. The headline, Musk says Twitter will limit how many tweets users can read. Twitter is limiting how many tweets per day various accounts can read to discourage extreme levels of data scraping and system manipulation. Executive Chair Elon Musk said in a post on the social media platform on Saturday. Verified counts were initially limited to reading 6,000 posts a day, Musk said, adding that unverified accounts will be limited to 600 posts a day, with new unverified accounts limited to 300. My comment. Slowly, with each move Musk makes, he is killing Twitter and opening the door wider for a competitor to take over. Already, some people are using LinkedIn more for sharing news rather than Twitter. Here's a story from the Financial Times. The headline, Summer in the City, Internships in the Age of Hybrid Work, Half-Empty Offices Cause Frustration for Young People on Placements. After spending most of her university life at home due to the COVID pandemic, 22-year-old Martha Story was looking forward to a summer placement at one of the UK's biggest financial services firms last year. But the experience was not what she had hoped for. Most of the team lived outside of London and commuted in 1 or 2 days a week. I was living in a tiny flat that was baking hot, so it was sometimes unbearable to work from home, she said. But there were some days when I was the only member of the team in the office. It made the office a lonelier place to be. My comment, I can only imagine how frustrating internships at some firms must be these days. But then JLN is fully working from home, so our interns have to live and work in the world that is today, not yesteryear. Here's a story from First Post. ChatGPT in trouble. OpenAI sued for stealing everything anyone's ever written on the internet. A class action lawsuit has been filed over OpenAI, the creator of ChatGPT, claiming that the company's AI training methods violated the privacy and copyright of practically everyone who has ever shared content online. OpenAI gathered an enormous amount of data from various sources on the internet to train its advanced AI language models. These data sets consist of a wide range of material, such as Wikipedia articles, popular books, social media posts, and even explicit content of niche genres. More importantly, OpenAI acquired all of this data without seeking permission from the content creators. My comment. Now, there is good old-fashioned common sense intelligence. Here are the top three stories from Friday's JLN. Our top story Friday was a tie between the podcast and report from John Lothian, that's me. WH Trading spawned a social justice phenomena in my hood, my block, my city in JLN, and why exchange rebate tiers are anti-competitive from IEX. Second was the end of LIBOR is finally here from the New York Times. Third was the press release from Exponential Exchange launches tradable automotive index for used vehicles from the Exponential Exchange. Here are the top three stories from the lead section of today's JLN. The first story is from The Telegraph. The headline, supercomputer makes calculations in blink of an eye that takes rivals 47 years. Google has developed a quantum computer that instantly makes calculations that would take the best existing supercomputers 47 years in a breakthrough meant to establish beyond doubt that the experimental machines can outperform conventional rivals. A paper from researchers at Google published online claims that the company's latest technology is beyond the capabilities of existing classical supercomputers. Proponents of quantum computers say the technology, which relies on the peculiar states of quantum physics, can create hugely powerful machines able to battle climate change and create breakthrough drugs. Here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, crypto's dream of an embrace by China gets a reality check. A shakeup at China's central bank has poured cold water on speculation that the nation may be about to loosen a ban on digital asset trading. Industry executives, including Circle Internet Financial Limited Chief Executive Jeremy Allaire, have seized on Beijing's quiet backing of Hong Kong's push to become a crypto hub to argue that the mainland may reverse its policy. They got a reminder about the risks of such extrapolations when Pan Gongchen was named the top Communist Party official at the People's Bank of China. And then here's another story, this one from Bloomberg. The headline, an 800% stock market rally puts Zimbabweans on edge. The stock market is a refuge for local investors in a hyperinflation economy. In Harare, Zimbabwe, home to the world's biggest stock market rally, the gains at breakneck speed, 5%, 10%, even 20% in a single session. Tally them up, and the market is up an astonishing 800% on the year. But in a country where up is often down and the next currency crisis is just around the corner, the furious rally is a cause for concern, not jubilation. It is a telltale sign, market observers say here, that investors are bracing for an inflation spiral and seeking a hedge to protect the value of their money. Consumer prices are climbing at an annual pace of over 100%, sparking jitters in a nation where the scars of hyperinflation run deep. Thank you for listening to the John Lothian News Daily Update. Please consider telling your friends about our podcast, and if you haven't yet, please write a review on Apple Podcasts. This helps new listeners find us. Also, if you aren't already a subscriber to the daily John Lothian newsletter email, you can get a free 90-day trial at johnlothiannews.com/trial. Have a great day and stay safe and treat people the same way you want to be treated, with respect, equality, and justice. This has been John Lothian. Goodbye. This podcast has been produced by Andrew Lothian.